Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
And so it's at this time of year that I'm reminded of the special status of the Earth, its uniqueness among all these billions of worlds. Because you see, it was the Earth where God sent His only Son to die for our sins. And that is wonderful indeed. Back in 1969, man walked on the moon. And that was an amazing feat. But what's even more amazing is that 2,000 years ago, God walked on the Earth.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What you are about to hear can be used as a weapon or as medicine. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you spend a fair amount of time chatting about leadership at church. Perhaps you have fallen into a ditch of being rather critical of those in charge. And you might be inclined to hear this treatise on 6 signs of disease leadership and use it to blast away. Might I encourage you to not do that? Instead, let's receive some insight into signs that could indicate our pastor or our elders are struggling spiritually and they need our help. Do not use these as a cudgel. Use them to come alongside your leaders and walk with them and help them. The stronger they are, the stronger you will be. With that caveat aside, let's tackle 6 signs of disease leadership by one Anthony Kidd, K-I-D-D. Paul, I know after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. In other words, one of the greatest threats to the church can come from inside of the church, in your ranks. And we would do well to be aware of the signs that maybe a leader, a pastor, an elder is slip-sliding away into wolf territory, so that we can help, not simply critique, not hack away, perhaps more than we already do, but to treat him like a believer who might be in danger. Sign number 1, pride, and I'm not talking about anything that has a rainbow attached to it. I'm talking about vanity, believing your own press, maybe drinking your own Kool-Aid, thinking, I'm the leader of this church. Uh-oh, that's a problem. Please note, your pastor, if he's a good man, he struggles with finding this balance. He wants to be strong for you, but he also wants to be humble. He also doesn't want to be overbearing. It's not an easy balance. So cut him some slack to a degree, but maybe if you are seeing in your pastor, oof, it's kind of thick every time. What could you do to help him? And by the way, pastor, if you're listening, these are tests that you should be taking. Is it possible this is happening to you, that you maybe are experiencing spiritual decay, which actually leads us to sign number 2, that there is diseased leadership, negligence. The pastor isn't feeding himself first. He's neglecting his own walk. This is a very easy thing to do because you're touching spiritual things all day. It's the air that a pastor breathes. He's always thinking religion, checking his Bible, praying with or for people. And he might think that he's got it pretty much taken care of when it comes to the nourishment of his own soul, but he's not doing private Bible reading. Perhaps prayer life has become perfunctory. Those are signs, pastor, you're in danger. Maybe you could ask your pastor how he's doing in his personal walk. I don't think this type of thing is like right after the church service, you make a beeline to talk to the fellow. Hey, how many times are you reading your Bible every day? How many minutes are you praying? Now, that's not the context. But if you care about your pastor and the health of the local church and the health of your own soul, spend some time with the fellow and encourage him to do that. not because you're being critical and not because he has a sense, oh, you're going to go tattle and spread gossip that I only pray for 8 minutes a day. Don't be that guy or gal. Be one who helps your pastor, because in his role, he can neglect his own walk. And that puts everybody in a bad place. He becomes then an easy target to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. And you will reap the rotten fruit of your pastor's withering soul. By the way, I might encourage you further to remind you that you are a member of a church, which means you're born again, which means you are a royal priest, which means you hold the keys of the kingdom. What power comes with holding those keys? More than maybe you think, especially if you're perhaps in an elder-led or an elder-ruled church, you can perhaps think, well, they kind of handle everything. Well, yeah, your elders do handle a lot of stuff, but that doesn't mean you have no role to play in defending the truth. That's what the keys of the kingdom are all about. Purity of doctrine, the purity of believers, that somebody isn't astray and sitting at the local tavern blaspheming God and besmirching your local church. You have the authority to be involved in those things. And if you see your pastor straying or his walk being neglected, I would say to you, it's even your duty to help the man. Number three, compromise. From the article, whether it is sexual immorality, financial impropriety, or another lapse of integrity, patterns of cutting moral corners can cause enormous damage to a pastor's own spiritual life and infect the influence he wields on the congregation. Pastor, may I ask you, how are you doing alone? Whether you're in a crowd of people and it's just your thoughts, you're alone, the family's out of the house, you're by yourself, you're in your church, you're by yourself, you're in front of your computer, you're by yourself. How are you doing? Are you compromising? Have you perhaps gotten a little flabby? Are you not flexing your defense muscles to be in spiritual warfare and win the battle as regularly as you once did? Sin is so deceitful. Did we not learn that this year? Did we not see that? That men who are godly, they preach great sermons. What? They're what? How did that happen? And the answer is incrementalism. It does not happen in a day. It is chip, 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 and you can hardly discern when it is happening. Might I encourage you to actually get alone and consider how it is that you're doing in your walk? How are you doing? And you can ask your pastor how he is doing. This is why I think, too, a pastor should have some buddies. Yep, his wife should be chief confider. But I think it's good for men to have male friends. I think it's good for women to have female friends. In fact, Greg Gifford's podcast 2 weeks ago, Jimmy, something like that, was talking about the importance of friends. You will not grow as spiritually strong as you could without good friends. And he's so helpful. You've got to invest time. And you've got to reciprocate. If you want to have friends, be a friend. I think that's basically what he was saying, just not as gloppily. That's right, gloppily. Would you do a little inventory to see, Pastor, how you're doing in your integrity walk? And maybe start confiding in some friends that you need some help. Number four, control. A disease leader is hyper-controlling the church, micromanaging, making decisions without collaboration, doesn't listen to differing perspectives, or even manipulating or threatening others with church discipline to get them to do his will. That's a pastor that's in big trouble. Pastor, how you doing? Number five sign of disease leadership, jealousy. It can be of other pastors. It can be of other churches. How many people do they have? Oh, They started their church 3 years after ours, and their church is bigger. It's a temptation, and it's one that must be resisted. And if it's not, Pastor, it's growing inside of you. Maybe you go to the mega conferences and you see the evangelical big boys. Why aren't I up there? Why am I? You know what? There's a reason you're not up there. God doesn't want you there. I can't tell you the reason, but he doesn't want you up there. It might be the worst thing in the world for you. You might have all the skills to match those guys, but it could be so bad for you. You don't know, but you're not there because he doesn't want you there. And it could be, Pastor, that you're not there because you're just not at that level. And that's okay. Be content with your local church, the sheep that the Good Shepherd has given to you. And finally, sign number 6 of potential disease leadership, burning out. That you are frying it. You're burning the candle at both ends. You got nothing in the tank. It is compromising your compassion. It is compromising the enthusiasm that you minister to people. The vitality of the pastor is closely tied to the health of his congregation. The loss of pastoral joy and energy can create an environment devoid of the life-giving presence of Christ. So, Pastor, if you're frying it, you're putting your congregation in danger. Congregation, if your pastor's working constantly and he looks exhausted with the bags under his eyes, you aren't doing yourself any favor by letting him burn out. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know what keeps us up at night? It's watching our culture sprint away from biblical truth like it's running a marathon in the wrong direction. But here's the thing, while others might be tiptoeing around tough issues, we're digging our heels in and standing firm. That's kind of our thing at Fortis Institute. And right now, this very moment, something incredible is happening. A generous friend of the ministry looked at what we're doing and said, hey, let's pour some rocket fuel on this. They're matching every single gift through December the 31st, up to $500,000. Think about that. Your gift doesn't just support bold biblical teaching, it literally doubles in impact. Listen, I'm not just talking about keeping the lights on, I'm talking about equipping believers, strengthening local churches, and being that clear voice of truth in a world that desperately needs it. So if you want to make your year-end giving count twice, just visit fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Master's University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Breaking news. In a world where biblical truth is increasingly rare, Fortis Institute is actually expanding. We're expanding our reach every single month. And get this, churches are actually getting stronger through solid biblical teaching. And here's the story. Your gift gets doubled right now through a matching grant. That means twice the impact, twice the reach, twice the transformation. Think more resources, more teaching, more churches equipped with truth that matters. We're not just maintaining around here. We're growing. More radio stations, more content, more believers getting equipped, more churches being strengthened. And unlike those clickbait headlines the world tries to feed us, this is actual verifiable impact. The fine print? Just one thing. The matching grant opportunity ends December the 31st. That's it. No complicated conditions, just a straightforward chance to double your impact. Visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. Because while everybody else is backing down, we're stepping up. FortisInstitute.org.
Yeah. Important dates in Christian history. 1854. Charles Haddon Spurgeon becomes pastor in London and will go on to become one of the most influential pastors ever. He was the central figure in defending the gospel against compromise during the downgrade controversy. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
But enough about your pastor. Let's talk about you. This is Wretched Radio. Tim Challies. He's a Canadian blogger and a sweetbread. By the way, Jimmy, I saw it's the Christmas bread with fruit in it is challah bread. It's that sweet bread. I think it's a Jewish style of bread. And they put Christmas fruit in it. So It's sort of like bread fruit cake is what it is. Oh, speaking of which, pumpkin loaf. I think that I've discovered something. My love language is pumpkin loaf. That's right. Not many people have that for their love language. But I'm telling you, Vicky at church made a pumpkin loaf, dropped it at our front door. Oh, man, with Irish butter. So Gary Chapman, you need to add a sixth love language. It's not service. It's not touch. Not compliments. Pumpkin loaf.
It's not even food. It's just specifically.
Pumpkin muffins. Not pumpkin spice lattes. That's just too much pumpkin. Too much nutmeg. Just a good old classic muffin or pumpkin loaf. In heaven, you're going to be eating lots of it. So you might want to start trying it and liking it. Now, Tim Challies, writing a series of short thoughts on the local church, some of these might tag you. Some of these sting a little bit. This one is pithy. And I wonder if you and I have ever pondered this. I don't think I have quite this succinctly. And this is going to be a little bit convicting, I think. One of the best compliments that can be paid to a Christian is you're thinking, oh, you're growing so much. Oh, your knowledge of the scriptures. Oh, the way you treat your spouse and children. Hey, look, all good things. But has anybody ever said to you, you're a good churchman? That is a fine compliment. You're one who is dedicated to the local church. You're one who serves here. You're always Johnny on the spot or Janie on the spot if you still think there's genders. Are you a good church person? That's convicting. Jimmy, you ever been paid that compliment?
Never been accused of it.
You know what? I can think of, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm thinking of some people at church. Mm-hmm. They're the faithful ones. Right. They are the ones, they just do it. If you're one of those people, can I just perhaps encourage you in knowing that you encourage your pastor when he sees you just doing it and perhaps doing the stuff that isn't the glamour stuff, it encourages him. It really does. So know that you're bearing that kind of fruit to boot. You're encouraging your pastor. Challies, you're a contributor to your church's strengths and weaknesses. Say it isn't so. Hall of Notes, your giftedness makes your church stronger and your sins and weaknesses make it weaker. Whenever you're tempted to grumble about your church, you need to remember that even if you can be a part of a solution, you're also a part of the problem. In other words, be humble. We tend to think everybody else causes issues. That has to be true of us too, doesn't it? That we do things that maybe aren't forwarding the progress and the health of our local church. It is no cliche that Sunday mornings begin on Saturday evening. Oh, more conviction coming your way. Your experience of church. All right, stop. How's your experience of church? When you go to, how do you feel about going to church? Are you excited? Or do you just go? Or do you wait until the alarm goes off to determine if you're going to make it this Sunday or not? If you're not excited about going to church the best hour of the week, this might be why, from Tim Challies, your experience of church will be much different if you stay up late watching movies on Saturday evening that you shouldn't be watching versus if you go to bed at a reasonable time and refrain from sinful behavior. If you want to get the greatest benefit from the worship services, you need to plan ahead. That is a very good word. So if church perhaps is a little bit Maybe it's because you're just not putting any effort into it. And maybe it's because you've been putting your little eyes onto images that you shouldn't be looking at. You want the fruit of godliness? It doesn't happen by itself. It's synergistic. And unlike Joel Osteen's church, did you hear this? It's kind of making its way through the Twitterosphere. Apparently some guy, he was preaching. There was a guy talking at the Joel Osteen Megadome in Houston. God has done his part. You got to do yours. Man, Scylla. That isn't how synergism works. Synergism is that the Holy Spirit empowers you. Yes, you've got to do it, but it's empowered by him. So you don't get to take any credit for it. And God's hands are not tied because of your weaknesses. It is all of God. And if you would like to be growing in godliness, work with the Holy Spirit. Don't kick against him. Do the things that help you get fed on Sunday morning. You'll be glad you did. Make it your habit to pray through the membership directory. You cannot help but come to love people as you pray for them. It's also a great way to get to know names and faces, which is a good thing, isn't it? So there's a bonus for you. You don't have to worry about somebody not wearing their name tag and having to call them, dude. Hey, dude, what'd you think of the game, dude? Because you can't remember his name. Use the directory and pray for him. It'll help you remember their name. But more importantly, you're going to be knitted together. It's going to be harder to leave a church where you've been praying for everybody there. Challies, it is very common, but rarely a good idea to change churches amid a personal crisis or immediately following one. Okay, this is interesting. In times of great difficulty, it is usually best to allow the local church to be a source of stability. It is wise to distrust yourself in your most difficult times. Stay put for now and only consider moving when life has stabilized. That's similar to the advice. Hey, if you just experienced a heartbreak, then don't engage yourself in another relationship immediately. I think they talk about that. They say that at Alcoholics Anonymous, not that I'm endorsing that, but don't make any big life decisions being sober for 3 weeks. You got to get yourself settled a little bit. And if you're going through a difficulty, it's probably not a good time to be making a decision as big as leaving your church. Challies, one unheralded ministry in the church. Get ready for this. Oh, some of these. It's interesting that as I'm reading these from Tim, he's not, do you hear him being convictional? No. But do you feel it? A little bit, don't you? An underestimated church ministry is arriving early. In many churches, it's often guests who arrive first and they feel awkward being alone. Those who get there early have the opportunity to serve in welcoming newcomers, engaging them in conversation. Conversely, those who continually show up late miss out on many opportunities to serve others. If you're a late arriver, just try it. Just try arriving early, as opposed to just getting there in time for the curtain to rise so you can watch the show. You'll be shocked. Another unheralded ministry is the ministry of singing. Oh, Tim. He said you need to sing loudly. Our culture doesn't really know what to do with singing, and few people have been trained to sing well and confidently. If you have a good voice and know how to use it, bless people around you by singing out your praises in as loud a voice as is appropriate. And that would be true for all of us, even if we just croak. You should be singing on a hill far away because woofda, it's a sweet sound of the Lord, and what an encouragement to everybody else. He barks like a dog. I guess I could sing along with a mighty fortress. I can sing as good as that guy can. We can encourage one another, which is why we are supposed to encourage one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. When you hear somebody singing praises to Jesus, you get fed by that. That means if you're not singing, you're not feeding anybody. Probably not yourself. Baptism, writes Challies, takes on new dimensions of meaning when you understand it is not only a personal act of obedience, because it is, but it's an ordinance that has meaning to everyone in the church. It is a communal rite. Not a personal one. Have you been baptized? Tick, 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 tick. How many more seconds do you want to live in disobedience? Yep, I said it. Not being baptized, if you're born again, is living in disobedience. Now you're waiting because they do it in 3 Sundays from now. Got it. But you should be anxious to get baptized. I've been born again. In my first commandment, I want to be obedient to my master. I need to get baptized. Make it a matter of urgency. And your church, I've mentioned this before. There's a trend, just like in charismatic circles, I've been reading, there's less emphasis on speaking in tongues. In Baptistic circles, there's less emphasis on baptism. It is an ordinance. It is an act of obedience on your part. But I'm telling you, you will bless the socks off of your congregation when they see the gospel. Somebody going down, coming back up, dying to self, being born again, raised to new life. And the testimony, if you haven't been baptized, might I encourage you lovingly, get on it! This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institutes. Well, while most academic research aims to protect children, the University of Minnesota's latest project takes a different approach, recruiting 5-year-olds for $60 sessions playing with anatomically detailed transgender dolls involving interchangeable genitalia. University administrators who typically celebrate their research initiatives have gone mysteriously silent when asked about paying kindergartners to experiment with swappable body parts. The pattern of targeting children continues in California classrooms, where one father discovered his child's assignment, stand in a circle and role play coming out as gay or lesbian. School officials executed a carefully choreographed response, first denying it was part of the curriculum, then admitting it was official content, before finally settling on telling parents they didn't simply grasp the importance of sexual orientation theater for minors. Disney's Pixar division briefly joined this trend before an unusual outbreak of common sense led them to delete a transgender storyline from their upcoming children's series Win or Lose. The entertainment giant suddenly remembered that parents might want to guide such conversations themselves. In Massachusetts, Newton High School has taken this same agenda to new heights themselves, transforming the week before Christmas into a celebration of Queer Jeopardy, where teachers share their experiences as queer educators. And when parents questioned why the birth of Christ needed a Pride Week overlay, the superintendent offered a masterclass in modern leadership by deleting her social media account and vanishing from the conversation. The Alliance Defending Freedom, fresh off winning major liberty cases, has spotted a new threat: bureaucrats partnering with corporations to filter what Americans can say online. Their new Center for Free Speech launches just as California decides even political satire needs government approval. A Canadian woman just won $10,000 from Shoppers Drug Mart after being denied her asthma inhaler because she lowered her mask while she struggled to breathe. The Human Rights Tribunal ruled that perhaps denying medication to someone gasping for air wasn't the best interpretation of public health guidance. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is set to receive the National Pro-Life Recognition Award for helping defeat Amendment 4, which would have expanded abortion access in Sunshine State. And as Bidenomics enters its victory lap, retailers have announced over 7,100 store closures through November, a mere 69% increase from last year. Economic experts assure us that this is just normal down cycle that has absolutely nothing to do with any particular administration's policies. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And as always, don't forget you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter before his execution. He encourages Timothy to persevere amid suffering. Paul had suffered for the sake of the gospel, but he also knew the beauty and power of the gospel. He charges Timothy to cling to and preach the gospel. When you face opposition, do not fear or be ashamed, but trust God and rely on His word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go. You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You
wake up, Jimmy.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Time to play one of America's fastest growing sensations. True or false? Yep, that's the... Oh, this is a popular game we love playing here at Wretched Radio, and representing the tens and tens of people listening, our very own federal head, Jimmy Hicks. Are you ready for this most awesome responsibility?
Absolutely.
You represent everybody.
I love it.
Where did everybody go? What just happened here? You ready?
Yes.
Story number one. There's a trend in Utah. People are getting hired to be a Jesus model so they can take pictures with him of the family. True or false, Jimmy? Is that happening or not?
That's so ridiculous.
It's a Mormon country. They don't let the men grow beards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is this a true story from Wall Street Journal? Or not. I just gave you the tip.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true. Ay. Yeah, you won't be surprised that The Chosen was mentioned in this. Nevertheless, here's the story. Models who look like Jesus are in high demand in Utah. Yes, I think with stories like this, but I think it also reveals just the hurting nature of our society these days. And how the church in general has abandoned the world by dumbing down Christianity and by downplaying the role of the Bible in the life of the believer and providing answers and solutions and help and hope. It should remind us people are willing to be taught truth. I'm telling you, this story, I think, reflects that. A growing number of people in the state want a picture of Jesus. They're hiring lookalikes for family portraits and wedding announcements. Models show up to walk with a newly engaged couple through a field, play with young children in the Bonneville Salt Flats. I think I've flown over those. They're kind of, you feel like you're on a different planet, actually, and cram in with the family for the annual Christmas card. What are they seeking? Why are they doing this? They have a sense this is going to somehow help me. This is going to encourage me, even though I have to pay some dude who apparently sort of looks like the perception we have of Jesus from Western European paintings that probably aren't all that accurate. I still remember, I can actually see the image in my mind. There's a name for it. They're reconstructionists. So they look at the bones of dead people from an era to determine height, how big the skulls are on average, et cetera, all of those things. And then different writings, biblical or other manuscripts that describe people, customs, habits, et cetera. And they did a reconstruction as best you can of Jesus. Didn't look anything at all like a surfer dude. And look like a Middle Eastern man. That, but rather unkept looking, not because Jesus was slovenly, but because that's just the way you looked. Didn't have the number of mirrors that we have, or combs, razors. I still don't know how they shaved then. I do not know how they shaved. Jimmy, you'd be in big trouble. You're Mr. Meticulous. I don't know how you'd have gotten by at that time. They charge $100 to $200 an hour to pose with children, families, and couples at various locations. So here's a hint into the heart. Michaela Avalos hired a friend's brother to pose as Jesus for pictures with her children. She runs a photography business in Ogden, and she wanted her kids to be able to see the photos of themselves with Jesus every day. Is that the best way to encourage your kids? Have a model sit with your kids to remind them of Jesus. We don't need a picture. We've got the Word of God. And if we just memorize it and remember that He is with us no matter where we go, no matter what we do, what are these kids going to do if they're feeling lonely, scared, and they don't have their picture of Jesus model? They're going to continue to be frightened. There's a better way. Quote, she said, most Christians have Christian artwork in their home. This is a way to make it more personal, more catered to an individual. She does not understand the Christian faith. God is personal. He's as intimate as anything could possibly be. If you want to use this language, he is customized for you because he knows you and he knits you together. People need biblical truths, not pictures of a model. Here's another one. An individual posing for photos in the Salt Flats. This was a Jesus actor. A woman approached him and asked if he could walk with her for a moment and hold her hand. He said, "You know, I'm not the real Jesus, right?" She told the guy that she'd been looking for a sign from God when she was driving by. And so she wanted to hold the actor's hand because somehow that's paganism, basically. But it just reflects and reveals the hurting hearts in our culture. A picture of a Jesus model ain't gonna fill that hole. Story number two, Jimmy.
Okay.
You ready?
I am.
In jolly old England, a pastor at a Anglican church school was disciplined for telling kids there ain't no such thing as Santa. True or false?
That, I want to say, I don't, that false?
At the Anglican church school.
Yeah.
You know, the Anglican communion, it's a Christian denomination.
Yeah, I want to say true.
Yeah, unfortunately it is. Dude. Speaking to a class of 10 to 11 years old at St. Faith's Church, the reverend said, "You're all year six. Now let's be real. Santa isn't real." Prompting audible gasps and shock among the children. Okay, a little bit speculative, but if this story is accurate and it reflects anybody else in our culture, the kids, if you're teaching them about Santa, you're encouraging them to give their heart to an idol, to a fictitious character. This, I think, reflects this. Some students sobbed in response to his assertion that their parents are the ones who purchase and wrap their Christmas gifts and eat cookies left out for Santa. Why would they sob? It's because their idol was being assaulted. Mom and Dad, something to consider. One of the parents of a seven-year-old child heard about the comments secondhand and called the pastor's remarks absolutely disgusting. You can't make somebody feel bad that they've been misinformed by their parents. Expressing worry over how to bring the magic back to Christmas. I don't want him anywhere near my daughter. I hope he never comes to the school again. Once again, I think we have a model. We have another example of progressive tolerance right there. Story number three, true or false, Jimmy? I read a statistic. Believe it or not, one in four parents are estranged from at least one adult child. True or false?
One in four. That sounds true.
I thought, you know what? It's actually lower than I thought it would be.
Oh, really?
This was an article from Crossway, making the most of your holidays with your adult children. They cite the statistics, one in four. That's at least one adult child.
Mm-hmm.
If 25%, I did the math. One in four is 25%. So just put your cell phone down. I got you covered. 25% of parents are mourning the loss of a child that they poured their hearts into, only to be abandoned for whatever reason, mostly because the culture tells them parents are idiots and you need to be your own autonomous self. And if anybody tells you that Santa isn't real, you need to off them. That's exactly what we're seeing in our culture today. This is the fruit of autonomy. This is why the divorce rate is so high. This is why young marriages are not lasting, because they're taught, if anything disrupts your happiness, king, queen, you gets to behead the serf. That's our world, and a lot of parents are hurting this year. If you know somebody in your church who maybe isn't going to have some kids coming home for Christmas, what about inviting them to your place? Would it ruin it, or might it even enhance it? The church family, this is that time of year when we need to be there for one another all throughout the year. But there's a lot of people who are going to be hurting for the holidays, and you could do something to help them out simply by inviting them to come along and join the festivities. And hopefully you have challah bread with Christmas fruit in it. Oh, that's not as good as pumpkin loaf, but I'm just telling you, it's pretty good stuff. And if you're one of those parents, please know, yes, I know you sinned, but don't clobber yourself perpetually over your failures. The world and the world system has been after your kids from the jump. And they've had a lot of access to them via social media and their cell phone. Don't feel like you're alone. You're not the most disgusting parent to ever walk the planet because your kid is ghosting you. It is an epidemic. And honestly, it's one that needs to stop. And Pastor, you could actually help with that by preaching to kids on Sunday mornings when appropriate to not ghost their parents. And other parents can help other parents by encouraging the kids that they've got great parents. You do that for me, I'll do that for you. And maybe this dreadful statistic will come down. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, let's take a minute and talk about your Christmas shopping list. You know, the one with all of those people who either have everything or return everything. Well, from now through Christmas, Fortis Institute is running a sale up to 75% off of everything in the Fortis store. Here's what makes this better than another ugly Christmas sweater. Spend $75, we're going to throw in Thou Shalt Judge featuring Justin Peters and Todd Friel completely free. It's giving the gift of biblical wisdom. And we'll even cover shipping on orders over $75, because between untangling Christmas lights and dodging invites to your office Christmas party, you've already got enough stress this time of year. Listen, you could waste your Christmas budget on another gadget that'll be obsolete by Valentine's Day, or you could give something that's been relevant for about 2,000 years. Just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. And while everybody else is out panic buying scented candles and gift cards, you could actually be giving something that won't end up at next year's White Elephant Exchange. FortisInstitute.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, you want to hear something crazy? There is someone out there who wants to match your generosity dollar for dollar. Fortis Institute has received a $500,000 matching grant. That means every gift you give between now and December the 31st, it gets doubled. Let me break it down for you. If you give $75, it becomes $150. You send $300, it turns to $600. And if you're feeling ambitious, you make a $1,000 donation to Fortis Institute, suddenly you're making a $2,000 impact. It's like a buy one, get one deal, but instead of you getting another sweater you don't need, you help strengthen churches and equip believers with solid biblical teaching. And I know what you're thinking, what's the catch? Well, there are two. First, this offer ends December the 31st. Second, actually, that's it. That's the only catch. No hidden fees, no processing and handling. Just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, and watch your gift do double duty, because in a world where everything seems to cost twice as much, isn't it nice to have something worth twice as much instead? FortisInstitute.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Apostle of our confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You didn't have to. This is Wretched Radio. Look what I just got for Christmas from Jimmy. I have to believe this came from you.
It did.
This just magically appeared on my desk. It's lion's mane mushroom daily gummies made by Fungies. I got to tell you, it does not sound, and they're little gummy things.
Yeah.
All right, if I can get it open, because apparently the goal of most of the pharmaceutical companies is to sell you expensive drugs you can't actually get into. Honestly, who? Not like, what would be the worst thing if a kid ate a bunch of gummy worms of lion's mane vitamin? They're not going to, I can't get into this thing. I just.
There you go.
Well, I had to use kind of a sharp object to get in. All right, let's see. Let's see what we got here. This is lion's mane. According to Jimmy, I think that's what you said. This is supposed to improve my memory. Is that correct?
That's right.
All righty.
Just take one.
Just because they're powerful. So maybe it would be dangerous for the. Oh, they're kind of tasty, actually. That's me swallowing. Yeah, we don't have a sound effect. Let's see if these things actually work.
Sum of the square roots of any two sides of an isosceles triangle is equal to the square root of the remaining side.
It works! It works! I was wrong with the lion's mane. It's a miracle drug. Are you ready to continue? America's fastest growing game sensation, Jimmy Hicks.
You be the judge.
You just talked over the thing.
I know.
All right, don't do that.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
We don't sound professional.
Truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
True or false? That is the name of this game show, Jimmy. Are you ready for the next round?
Absolutely.
Here we go. True or false, the Episcopalian Church just installed its first Muslim bishop. True or false?
That's got to be false.
But it gave you pause, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah. Because they pretty much made everybody else a bishop that shouldn't be a bishop. So why not the first Muslim? When is that going to happen? It will, no doubt, as these mainline... It's a bummer. I'm telling you, it has not been good for America that the mainline Protestant denominations allowed liberalism to make their way in right around the turn of the century. Those German liberals taking over. That's what they do, the Germans. They just take over. Can I use a stereotype like that, or am I going to get arrested? I can't remember. So I guess I better have another one of these gummies. Why can't I take two?
Because the serving size on the back.
So what?
Just because it's in gummy form doesn't mean it's candy, Todd.
It sure does. No, then why do they do it?
I don't.
Please don't. All right, this is an argument that Mrs. Friel and I continue to have in our home. Don't worry, we're not throwing pots and pans. Do vitamins and do medications actually lose their power at the expiration date? She thinks they do. I'm a talk show host.
You're never wrong.
They are not weaker today than they were yesterday. I don't believe it for a second. So, and eggs is the other thing. That's just quite extraordinary to me. You go ahead and go ask the AI machine, how many days after the expiration date are eggs good if you keep them in the fridge? It's like 3 weeks. Do you know how many eggs we've thrown away? Don't trust big poultry, because they're just out to make a profit. It's all for the shareholders. Are you ready for it? Oh, are you Googling that thing? How many weeks can you hold on to the eggs after the expiration date?
It is telling me 3 to 5 weeks. Do the float test.
Lies. Just what?
Do the float test.
All right, I'm intrigued.
If it sinks and lies flat, it's fresh. If it stands upright, it's older, but still safe to eat.
Okay,
Okay,
I see. So it's like the long way. It stands up.
Right.
It's
right.
Good.
Yes, it's older, but still safe to eat. But if it floats, it's no longer good.
And what if it lies down and sinks?
It's if it sinks and lies flat, it's fresh.
Lies flat.
Uh-huh.
It's fresh. If it stands up, it's old, but still okay. If it floats, you're going to die.
Right.
All right. Got it. Story number two. Abortions are down 13,000 in 2022. That's the last statistic, according to this article, that you're going to deem true or false. 13,000. It dropped.
Well, that's not a lot, so I would say probably true.
It is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, telling you, the battleground for life, it's the pill. Isn't this just like us? You know, the other night I was musing, watching some drug commercial on TV, which is why I'm telling you, Greg Gifford's book, it is going to be amazing when it comes out in May. It's going to be so helpful. It deals with big pharma. It deals with psychotropics. what do we do with these things? And as long as I brought up the Fellows program, would you kindly consider joining us at the end of the year? We've got our matching campaign going on. We're getting there. We're warm. We're getting warmer. Would love it if you'd help us reach our goal for the month of December. You can join us as a gospel partner and koinonia with us by visiting FortisInstitute.org. So Greg's book is going to just really reveal these psychotropics. It's a gamble. It's a total crapshoot. You just don't know how they're going to work because the people who make them and prescribe them don't even know how they work. So I'm watching one of these commercials on TV, and I thought to myself, if they come up with an injection that you only have to take twice a year to help you with your depression or anxiety or whatever it is, it will sell like hotcakes because we want it quick. We want it easy. You mean I only have to take 2 shots and I'll stop feeling blue? It will sell. So get ready for the new Pfizer jab to take care of depression. Well, it doesn't. All it does is it alters the chemicals in your body. It does not fix the inner man. Medications are outer man business. Medications, they deal with the physical. You are a body and a soul, but the inner man is not your body. It's the you inside of you. That is what needs help. That is what needs new information. That is what needs truth to override the falsehoods. And medication just doesn't do that. Can't wait for that book. It's being worked on now. I mean, all the publicity stuff and all of that. This thing, I'm telling you, it could be so impactful. It could be a national discourse on whether or not psychotropics are the solution for your inner man problems. Greg's book, it's called Lies My Therapist Told Me. It'll be out in May. My book, which I'm still waiting for James to get the edits back on. But James, if you're listening, I'm not suggesting you need to make it snappy because it would be nice to be able to do it over Christmas. I'm not saying that, but I am saying, hurry up, would you, dude? Jimmy, are you ready for the next true or false story?
I am.
1 in 5, according to this report, in Canada, assisted dying now accounts for 1. Did I say 1 in 5?
You did.
Okay, sorry. Didn't mean that. I meant 5%. Because I was doing the math again. 1 in 20 deaths in Canada due to assisted suicide.
That's actually true.
Oh, and that's actually disgusting. And if you think that statistic is horrifying, it is like the Carpenters. It has only just begun, which, by the way, you know what? Actually, you could lend us some wisdom. There's a pretty good chance you're not even going to know what I'm talking about. For real, that ain't nothing new. We next year is our 25th anniversary. We've been doing radio, TV, videos, all that stuff for 25 years. Yeah, different names, but 25 years. And the slogan that we came up with was, we've only just begun. You know, white lace and promises, a kiss for luck, and we're on our way together. It's a Carpenter's song. So, Jimmy, we're thinking for the 30th anniversary, rainy days and Mondays, something like that. That's the only other Carpenter song I could think of. Her voice was butter, and I have not been hearing her enough at Christmas. If you, and further, here's another observation I've made. Have you noticed this when you go out in public? And this is pretty empirical because, you know, I go to stores on occasion. Last year and the years before, I remember remarking, hey, they're playing O Holy Night. Isn't that glorious? They're playing Silent Night. Oh, that's magnificent. They're singing about King Jesus being born. Not so much. I have not heard a religious carol in public. Maybe you've had a different experience. Everything is Burl Ives or it's just some silly song. And I haven't been hearing the Carpenters, which is a drag because, man, her voice was like butter. Jimmy, true or false? This is your last chance.
Okay.
Are you ready?
All right.
Hollywood just released Rotten Tomatoes give us a huge, huge ratings. They released a blasphemy-free, sex-free, and best of all, smoking-free movie that's actually interesting. True or false?
That's false. Absolutely false.
Garbage. It's nothing but garbage. Hey, if you're looking for some good stuff to look at, check out FortisPlus.org. It's free. We have so much content and can't wait to produce more and more in 2025, which we'll do with your kind support. If you become a gospel partner during our match campaign at FortisInstitute.org. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.